Well, good morning. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. I reckon Brother Bill is still at home cooking, hadn't made it yet, so maybe he'll be with us in a little bit. But we appreciate you being here. And before I forget it, there you go, may I mention that. If somebody's lost a pair of glasses, they were in a handicap parking space on this end of the church. They look like their prescription. So what we're going to do, I wanted to mention that to you, and then I'm going to line up here and have Brother Billy to mention it. So if you hear anybody say anything about they've lost some glasses, they'll be up here. But it's good to see you this morning. I mean, when I see you this morning, that means that all of us have been blessed to get up for another day. We've been blessed, so. And thank you for all those who are joining us by the way of internet on Homecoming Sunday at Benson Grove. How many of you looking for Homecoming Day up there? The older I get, the more I'm looking forward to it, I'm telling you. So, and thank the Lord we have got a home to go to. This is not our home. We're just a what? We're just a passing through. Just a passing through. But thank you much for being with us today. We're going to... Still, we're looking at the nation of Israel. We have been talking about the difference in the way the Spirit works, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We looked at that led to the nation of Israel. In the beginning, we started out with the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. And then we came to the Ark of the Covenant. And then the Lord met with Israel through the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is what the nation of Israel followed as God directed them. But I want us to look basically this morning. It's one of those... I didn't find out what I wanted to do until Thursday night. So I've not studied this like I generally do. of course, I did taxes for a whole lot, about half of the week, but nevertheless, thank the Lord that's behind me. Everything but paying the bill, but nevertheless. Well, I want to look at just the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures that we looked at before. But what I want us to do this morning is just focus on the Ark of the Covenant. And when God told Moses it's time to build it, and then I want us to watch the progression of that Ark and what God said about that Ark and what that Ark means and what it means to the nation of Israel. The ark that was made during Moses' time is still somewhere today, just like it was. Not 100% sure where it's at. Scholars think they know where it's at. Think it's under a dome over in Israel. But nevertheless, I want us to look at it this morning in a little more detail than we have looked at it. And we're going to begin in the book of Exodus. And we'll basically be in the Old Testament this morning. Because we're going to go from the book of Exodus all the way over to 2 Samuel. The Lord willing, we have enough time, and I doubt that we have enough time today, so we might be talking about the same thing the next time we meet, Lord willing. But I want to begin in Exodus chapter number 25 and begin to set the groundwork again as we look at this. Now, the Ark of the Covenant carried a lot of significance. And God told the nation of Israel how they better respect the Ark of the Covenant. I think one thing that we've lost in our churches today is respect for God's house and respect especially for what we sit in this morning in our sanctuary. We need to be careful how we present ourselves to the Lord in this sanctuary, how we present the gospel in this sanctuary, and how the church as a whole preserves the sacredness of the sanctuary. This is where we come to church this morning and gather together to meet the Lord and hear what He has to say for us and to meet our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you know, you might not see, the Lord might have a plan for, I know He's got a plan for each one of us. And the message that you get this morning and the help that you get this morning through and by the grace of God, it might not come from the Sunday school hour. It might not come from the song service this morning. It might not come from the preaching this morning. It could come from one of your brothers and sisters in Christ that you have a personal conversation with this morning. And you might have a problem or a concern or a hurt this morning in your heart that you don't want to express to the whole church congregation, but there might be somebody in this church that's a brother and sister in Christ that you have a lot of faith and trust in, and you would speak to them about that problem. And through that, the Lord uses that to help you get an answer to a situation. But still, we come together. And when we look this morning at the Ark of the Covenant, I think that we can see that we need to be careful how we treat this sanctuary, how we conduct ourselves in this sanctuary, and how we present ourselves to the Lord in this sanctuary. So let's begin now in Exodus chapter number 25 as we look at the Ark of the Covenant, the building of the tabernacle. And I was going to bring a picture this morning that I had to see if we could get it on the screen and show you the tabernacle. And I forgot it. So apparently I was not supposed to do it. So, but anyway, in chapter number 25, and we look at verse number 10. And they shall make an ark of fitting wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant had a special place to be put in the tabernacle. I think the tabernacle was like 150 foot long by, was it 25 foot wide? I can't remember right offhand. But we know that in that tabernacle, it tells you how it was enclosed. Three layers really on top, but the outward we're looking at badger skin. And we know that we have the veil in front of it. And then in the Holy of Holies in it, we have a small area in the holy that they call Holy of Holies, the veil in front of it. And the priest only go into the tabernacle. Now, he says you're going to make this ark, and this ark is going to be put in the tabernacle of God. In verse number 2, thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without. Shall thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. So there's a lot of gold involved in this thing. And thou shalt cast, let me get where I'm at. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of hewn wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne by thee, and the shaft shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Okay, now let's see if we can get a picture for just a moment. We have this Ark of the Covenant, which is 45 inches long, almost 4 foot, and then it's 27 inches wide, 27 inches high, overlaid with gold. And on each of the corners of the Ark of the Covenant, they put a ring. And then they make staves or poles, overlay them with the gold. And when the Ark of the Covenant is moved, they go through the rings and extend out on the side so that when it comes time to move them, the priest will shoulder the Ark of the Covenant and it will be carried by them. Now, that's the way that it's supposed to be carried. Now, if you'll notice, it says that these, in the 15th verse, shall not be taken from it. Now, as we look on and look at the Ark of the Covenant, and we get back over in the book of Samuel, there's some things there that, one particular thing that I wonder about, and I'm going to try to cover when we get there. Because you remember that all this overlaid with what? With pure gold. Okay? And it says, and thou shalt put in the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. What tense is that? Shall. He says you're going to put a testimony in it that I'm going to give you. I shall give it to you. What does that tell us? Don't have it yet. That's a future thing. And he says, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. So what size is it? It's the same size as the ark is. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shall thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So now, we're going to have a mercy seat, and it's going to be the same size as the top of the ark is. It's going to be made of pure gold. And then they're going to have cherubims, and they're going to be sitting on each end of the mercy seat, and their wings will point out over the mercy seat. Well, it says in verse number 19, and make 1 cherubim on one end and the other cherubim on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. So it's going to be on top of the ark. Okay? And in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will, and watch this now. And there will I meet with thee. So now where's the Lord going to meet with the nation of Israel? He's going to meet with the nation of Israel by the mercy seat, at the mercy seat. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and from between the cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all things which I will give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel. So now, where's the children of Israel going to meet God, and where are they going to get the commandments of God? Going to come through the mercy seat. Go over to chapter number 40. And I know we've covered some of this before, but we're looking at it in a different perspective this morning. Now, we have just read what God commanded, how God commanded Moses to do the mercy seat. In verse chapter number 40, in verse number 33, and we read this before. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle. Now, you know, they had walls around the tabernacle. They had the tabernacle in that court of walls, and the mercy seats in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. So now he says the court around about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the what? The work. So now the tabernacle and the court around the tabernacle and all that has been done exactly like God told Moses to do it, to the nth degree. Nothing's been missed. Now look at verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the what? The tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud above thereof and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up, okay, now, the cloud has covered the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord has come down. Now, it says Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud above. And I'm not sure, but I looked at this, and I said, why is not Moses able to enter into the tabernacle? Well, when we go back now, well, not go back, but when we go forward, who's the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies? The priest was the only one. God's designated person is the only one that could go into the tabernacle. And Moses was not one to go into the tabernacle. It's only the priest that goes into the tabernacle. Shekinah glory has come down. It's filled the tabernacle. And it's permanent. What do you mean it's permanent? That cloud's not going to leave the tabernacle. God is not going to leave the tabernacle. Any time that the nation of Israel looks toward the tabernacle, they can see the presence of God. Anytime we look at this, we see the presence of God encompassed in the covering and the pages of God's precious word is God. And you can see him anytime you want to in this book. He's not hid. He's available. He's in sight. The problem is, we don't look for him. We go home and lie this down and don't think about it anymore until next Sunday. Or maybe Wednesday night. Do we read this during the week? Do we study this during the week? Do we read it every day? If you don't read it but 5 minutes every day, if you just pick it up and open it up, don't say, I'm going to read so. Pick your Bible up and open it up and read a few verses and see what God does. He's always present. Now, notice the next verse. And when the cloud was taken from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. What's going to determine what the nation of Israel does on their journey? When do I go forward? When do I stay? When do I make a move? And when I do not make a move? It depends on what the cloud over the tabernacle does. And if the cloud moves that's over the tabernacle, it's time to do what? It's time to pick up and let's begin to travel, because I've got another place for you to go to. I've got another thing that I want you to do. See, we need to be looking for the ark in our life, the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Lord willing, if I ever get there, we're going to talk about the New Testament and the way the Holy Spirit works. But here we have that example of the Holy Spirit, because this tabernacle is the thing that's leading the nation of Israel on the journey. When you were saved by the marvelous grace of God, when I was saved by the marvelous grace of God, and the Holy Spirit came into our heart and our life, then who directs our Christian walk? Who do we listen to in our Christian life? Who directs our Christian life? The Holy Spirit does. And when God, I hope, when God tells us to move by the precious Holy Spirit, I hope we move and respond. And he says, now, when it moves, you move. And the children of Israel were on it. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. In how many of their journeys? All their journeys. So, this determines all their travels, does it not? And all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and a fire was on it by night. And I want you to look at the next phrase in this verse. There's a cloud in the day, and there's a pillar of fire by night, and it's at the tabernacle, over the tabernacle. And he says, it's there in what? In the sight of all the house of Israel. There was not a single solitary place in the camp of the nation of Israel that they could not see where the tabernacle was. The tabernacle is set up, and there's so many tents on this side, there's so many on that side, and there's so many on this side. And the way they are set up, all of them can see the tabernacle all the time and any time they so desire to do what? To look that way. To look that way. If you don't ever look at this, you're never going to see who's in it. If you're looking the other way, you're certainly not going to see what's in it. In the book of Numbers, and as we go on and look at the Ark of the Covenant, this will get very serious. In chapter number 4. Verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, now, who helped Moses in Moses' work of leading the nation of Israel? Well, no, Aaron did, okay? So here it says, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families and by the house of their fathers from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, and all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, I want you to notice just a phrase or two in this particular verse, because we've got to do a distinction here between what the sons of Kohath have been called to do and what Aaron's sons, the priests, are called to do. Now, if you'll notice that it says you take all these 30 years old and up, but even to 50 years old, In the latter part of that verse, to do the what? The work. Notice that phrase. In the tabernacle of the congregation. Then he says, and this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Now, we're getting down to the part now of the work and the service of moving the Ark of the Covenant when Shekinah glory moves and says it's time to take up the tabernacle. And it's time to take the Ark of the Covenant and all those things that are in the tabernacle and in the court where the nation of Israel do their sacrificing and where the priest meets in the holy place. And he gives specific ways that this is going to be done. Now, I want you to, there's two things that I want you to keep in mind. And one of them is, remember those rings on the Ark of the Covenant and remember those staffs and how the Ark of the Covenant was to be moved. Now, I want you to remember that. If you don't remember anything else, and all that we say during the time we're looking at this, I want you to remember those things, the rings and the staff. It's important because we're going to look at something on down the line that we need to really take note of. And I started out this morning saying this is a sacred place and we need to be very careful how we handle it and how we present ourselves in this place. What verse was that? Okay. Now, also notice in the latter part of that fourth verse, it says about the holy things. We realize it or not, this is a holy sanctuary to me that we sit in. It might not be to you, but it is to me. And it says, and when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons. Now, who have we just been talking about? We've been talking about Kohath and his sons in the work and the service of the tabernacle. Now the picture has changed and we're going to look at somebody else. Now who are we looking at? We're looking at Aaron and his sons, the priestly ones in the sanctuary. The everyday Israelite could not walk into the tabernacle. Only certain ones, and here's the priests, Aaron's sons. Now, when the tabernacle gets ready to move, this is what's got to happen. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil. Remember we said the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, is in the tabernacle and in the Holy of Holies, and it's behind the veil. Remember when Christ was resurrected? What happened to the veil in the temple? You know, we get from a tabernacle to a building, a temple on down the road. But here we're talking about the tabernacle. And here's the veil in front of it. He says, you'll take down the covering veil and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. So they're going to take the veil down and they're going to cover the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Verse number 6, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skin, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the, what? The staves thereof. Now, we're fixing to move the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you want to know how sacred that Ark of the Covenant is, God says, now, the same people that's going to move this Ark of the Covenant are not going to touch it until these things that Aaron and the priest have done. They've got to take the veil down. They've got to cover the Ark of the Covenant. They've got to put the bag of skin over it. They've got to make sure the staves are in the rings. Why is all that necessary? Because when it comes time for that Ark of the Covenant to be moved, those men that are going to move the Ark of the Covenant don't do anything but touch the end of the shaft and put them on their shoulders. And they cannot see the Ark of the Covenant. And they definitely better not try to see the Ark of the Covenant. And they better try not to touch the Ark of the Covenant. The only thing they're going to do is pick it up and put it on their shoulders. So he says, now, you've got it ready to move. And then when we look on down through, it tells them how they're going to do the items, all the other items that are in the Ark of the Covenant. Now go with me, if you will, a little farther down in verse number 15. And when Aaron and his sons had made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward. Now, what's happened? Where are we at in the process? Aaron and his sons have done exactly what God said to do concerning the Ark of the Covenant and all those things that are in the court and in the tabernacle. And they have fixed them so the moving company can come and move them, is what it boils down to. But those that fixed them and boxed them up, so to speak, and it tells you exactly how it's going to be done, and it won't done in boxes. It tells you exactly how it's going to be done and how it's covered with badger skin. You need to read that sometime. And when they've got it prepared, then the moving boys come in. And there are the boys that do the work of the service, and they're Kohath's sons. Now watch. Latter part of that verse. After that, the sons of Kohath shall come to do what? To bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing. You better do what when you get hold of that pole? That shaft that's in that thing. You better just on command pick it up and put it on your shoulders. You better not try to peep at what's in that covering. You better not try to touch anything that's in that covering. Because if you mess with it, what does the next phrase say you're going to do? You're going to die. Now, that's another phrase that I want you to remember. Now, you think God ain't serious about his business? We do it like he says do it, or we pay a price for not doing it like he says do it. In your individual life and my individual life, if we do not seek God's will and God's way and follow the Holy Spirit in our life as it leads, it's going to lead to trouble. You do it God's way or you pay the price for not doing it God's way. Well, I thought He was a merciful and loving God. He is. Why do you think you're sitting here this morning? If you and I got what we deserve this morning, every one of us would be frying in hell. Now, how do you like that? You say, I don't like to hear that. Don't make no difference to me whether you do or not. It's God's Word. You know, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And the only difference is Christ. So here it says, now you do what I tell you. If you mess with this holy stuff, then you're going to die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. These things are the what? Of the burdens. It's not going to be easy, but God's called you to do it. And you do what He called you to do. And you do it like He called you to do it. And if you don't, then there's a price going to be paid. And my time's gone. Now, Lord willing, we're going to take the Ark of the Covenant and continue. But let me give you one more verse to close out, the 23rd. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they what? They die. Verse number 20. I need to read these verses again for you the next time we get together. But there's some serious judgment there if you don't do it like God says do it. God bless you and thank you for being with us today.